what kind of image is going to come out of you joining the dots. If they are good enough, they tell you where to start from, and then they show you, they number those dots, exactly. Those dots are numbered so that you know how to join from 1 to 2. So it doesn't follow a straight line, okay? Neither does it follow a curve. There's no pattern, but the pattern it follows is the pattern that the creator of that exercise wants to bring about. So if he wants you to draw a car, he makes sure that when you are crossing, when you are joining those dots, you join them in such a way that at the end of the day, it will come out as a car. And if you do not follow the sequence of those dots, you will not get what the designer or the original, designer, the person that designed it, you will not get what he wants you to get. You will be totally off course. So meaning that you have to pay attention to the numbering, and then you have to pay attention to your lines. Amen. Hallelujah. And similarly, you know, we need to look at life as joining the dots as God has ordered our steps to join them. Okay? He says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. And he deals with us as a finished product. Amen. He doesn't deal with you from where you are. He deals with you at what the product that he has finished. So, and then he expects that you will come up, okay, from that point where you are to the point that he is. Hallelujah. Amen. So what he's dealing with you is dealing with you with the high end in mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles. We'll look at the story of Joseph. Because in the story of Joseph, Joseph's story will start interesting anybody right from the time he started having his dream. Okay? You will look at the story, and then he talked about the fact that the father had gave him a coat of many colors, and then he had his dream. So if you go to Genesis chapter 37, let's just take it one by one. Because if you look at his life, it looked like God was just helping him join those dots till he arrived where he was going. Genesis chapter 37, and I'm going to read it from verse 5. And you need to just free your mind and forget the fact that you know the story so that you'll be able to pick what I'm trying to tell you. Okay, so familiarity breeds contempt. So don't say you are so familiar with this and then you'll lose it. So now Joseph had a dream. I'm going to read from verse 5 to 11. It says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now, the first time they will hate him, if you go back, you see it in verse 3, was when his father gave him the coat of many colors, and he reported that they hated him. So this one that is telling you they hated him the more is because there had been an hatred that was sown by virtue of the coat of many colors. So when you are reading the scriptures, look at these sentences very well. He said they hated him even the more. So that they must have hated him at a point in time. Okay. Now, verse 9. So then he dreamed still another dream and told to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Amen. It says, so twice he had a dream, and the first time he said they hated him the more. So he had sown a seed of hatred by virtue of the things that he got to know. Now, let's go to another portion of Joseph's story. Joseph, in Genesis 41, Genesis 41, I'm going to read from verse 12. And I pray that God will help us this night, that we'll have an understanding of his word, throw light and walk in the light of this understanding. And don't forget where I'm coming from. And when God is dealing with us, he's leading us step by step, okay? And that's why I told you the story of those dots that we joined. He leads us step by step. And if he decides to veer off those steps, we will not arrive at where he wants us to arrive at. Hallelujah. Amen. And from verse 12, Isaiah 41 from verse 12, the Bible says, it says, now there was a young Hebrew man with us, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him and interpreted our dreams for us. To each man, he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him out quickly from the dungeon. He shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Let me pause there. Now, so this is the chief butler that was speaking to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream, right? Then the chief butler was speaking to him. And if you remember this story very well, I mean, the baker and the chief butler and Joseph, the three of them were in prison. Okay? They had a dream, and they went to Joseph. And then Joseph interpreted the dream to them, told one that he would be restored. And because their dream, they looked like the same scenario, the other one thought that, oh, okay, I'm going to restore to you. And then Joseph said, no, you are going to be hanged. Okay? And unfortunately for him, there was nobody to intercede on his behalf. And then, I mean, it came to pass. So, and then Joseph, you also remember that Joseph told the butler that, look, when you get out, put in a good word for me. But the guy totally forgot him. So it wasn't that when he got out, that he had been restored. He now went to Pharaoh and said that, you know what, there's somebody in there, you need to bring him out. Okay? And a whole lot of lessons to be learned from there that we can pick from there. First, you say that your help is not in man. Second, you don't rely on the arm of flesh and a host of other things. But one thing that is certain is that God orchestrates our footsteps in the best pathway for our life. Hallelujah. And because he has spoken, okay? Because God has spoken, okay? He will make it come to pass. Hallelujah. Whether man refuses or not to help, God will make it come to pass. So you can also see it in such a way that, okay, the butler forgot, and then God caused Pharaoh to have a dream, right? And then the butler suddenly remembered. The butler could still not have remembered, even if Pharaoh told him he had a dream. What if he never got to hear that Pharaoh had a dream? Okay? So it wasn't about the butler. It was about those thoughts that God was joining, was allowing things to come into place so that the end that he intended, we will see it. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says here that then just about verse 14. Yeah, okay, so this verse 14, please always work with it. He says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And you don't appear before a king anyhow. So when you suddenly have a call, hallelujah, please always be very presentable. So imagine if they took him out dirty with all the air grown. You know,
know when you go to the beach and you see those people by the beach side, that all their hair is grown and it's dirty, you don't even want to listen. Because you just wonder that God cannot be, I mean, it's just difficult for you to comprehend all those kind of things. And then he's saying that when he was called, he did not rush to the king's presence. He made himself presentable. And then he could have a conversation with the king. Now, this dressing up that you're looking here, changing clothes, blah, 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 that's how Christ has dressed all up to be able to appear before God. Amen. That we have a right standing with him so that you are confident when you're talking to God. Hallelujah. So verse 15, this is what is important. It says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And then the last verse. So Joseph answered saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Amen. He said it's not in him. And then all of us will wonder. First time, he had a dream twice. Okay? And he could interpret it. Then the butler and the baker, they had dreams. And then Pharaoh's dream. Okay? So, he had an encounter. But do you know that those dreams that he had, he interpreted, but now he's saying that it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And meaning that from that age, or even before the incidence of the cloth of many colors, the coat of many colors, or the tunic of many colors, Joseph had a walk with God. Hallelujah. He has had an encounter with God even from that tender age. And that's why he was able to be interpreting dreams. Not because he was in him, but because he had an understanding and he had a pact with God. So everything he was doing from that age, okay, it was because he was working with God. Amen. It wasn't about if I say I was born with it. If it was so, he would have said here, that, okay, yes, now I can interpret dreams. He said, it is not in me, but who? He says, God will give Pharaoh an answer that is what? Of peace. And little wonder, and no wonder that when he was sold into slavery, and then he was taken to Potiphar's house, he could resist Potiphar's wife. And you know the assessment he made to Potiphar's wife? That I will be sinning against God and his master. It was first of all God that was important. Meaning that everywhere he was going, even at that tender age, he was carrying God. Hallelujah. And he had so grown to trust God that he trusts that each time there was a situation for him to surmount or overcome, the God will be in the midst of it. Now, he didn't have to tell us verbatim. You have to pick this out. You have to pick these things out from his lifestyle. Okay? And this particular statement tells you that he was not dependent on whatever knowledge he had. He had no book or anything that was about, about interpreting dreams. He simply will say, if he had a formula, then he would have missed it between the baker and the butler. Amen. Let me read something to you. Genesis chapter 40. From verse 5. It says, then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with his own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Hallelujah. Amen. If it were some other people, that statement that he made, that does interpretation not belong to God? And then he now said, tell them to me. They'll say, are you God? That's what, in this age and time, that's what people say. Are you God?
people will see the scriptures as it's written in black and white, and then they will need misunderstanding to understand those simple black and white things that have been written. Everybody will be doing AI in scriptures and be extrapolating and interpolating on what God has not said. So here, he said, does it not belong to God to interpret dreams and then tell them to me? Amen. Meaning that, okay, tell them to me, I will take it to God. That's how I see it. I will take it to God. God will tell me. He will tell me. It wasn't about him. And it had never been about him, even from the time he was talking to his brothers. You know, a lot of people have said that he wasn't intelligent. He shouldn't have told his brothers. If he didn't tell his brothers, they won't sell him. If he didn't tell his brothers those dreams, they wouldn't have waited him and they wouldn't have sold him. Abi? They would have been living fine. You know, like this Joseph boy. But because they told him, they hastened God's work. Hallelujah. Then they sold him to slavery. And then if not for his brother, that would say, don't kill him, they wouldn't have sold him to slavery. And why would everybody say that? Because God was working on his behalf. Those thoughts, he was joining them. I mean, he had already planned everything. And then look, at the end of the day, this is what is going to happen. The sun and the moon bowing down to him was at the very end. How many years after? But he has seen it. And God has told him. So I'm saying that here in this first instance, with the baker and the butler, Joseph said, it has to be about God. When he got to Pharaoh, he said, this thing, God will give you an answer of peace. So he was working with God all along. And that's why when Potiphar's wife came knocking and came threatening, okay, he could say and he could resist because he understood that he was working with God. Hallelujah. And at what age was the story of the tunic? Okay, where was I? Genesis 41:16. Okay, 48. Thank you. Then he said, so Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Then the chief butler told him the dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was though it budded, it blossomed, shot forth, and his cluster brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is his interpretation. Three branches are 3 days. Now in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, and according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here, and that they put me in the dungeon. And then when the field picker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the best ate them out of the basket of my head. This guy should have known that there is trouble here. He carried Pharaoh's bread on his head. And birds were eating it. And then he's happy that he will end up the same way with the butler. That one is the one we should say he doesn't have native intelligence. He says here that in the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket of my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you. When he was talking to the butler, he said, in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up. This one, he said, in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Hallelujah. I just wanted to show you that it wasn't dependent on any formula to interpret these dreams. He was talking with God. If he had been dependent, he would have been like the baker. He would have been like the baker that was happy because of three baskets, three, and this one is three baskets, this is three cups. He said it looked similar, but it ended up differently. Now, the last part of the dot, I want to see, I've shown you three dots in Joseph's life. First was the one that his brothers hated him because of the dream. Second is the one of the of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dream. And then the last one, before I go to what we want to talk about, Genesis chapter 50. You know, this is the last chapter in the book of Genesis anyway. And it says here, from verse 22, it says, so Joseph dwelt. No, let me read from verse 19. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I'll provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to him. Now to them. Verse 22. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Manasseh, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I'm dying. But God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Amen. Hallelujah. He told them, I said, look, I mean, they spent, he said he saw three generations of Ephraim. Abi? So I've forgotten how many years they call it generation. But he saw three. That means that Ephraim gave birth to one, that one gave birth to another, and then that one gave birth to another. Okay? So if they give birth late, like they are, if they give birth late, if it's 99 years or whatever, but they told all these number of years. Okay? So he saw three generations. Now, the beautiful part of it was that he said to them, God will surely visit you. Meaning that no matter the length of days that has passed, even though he was departing, he still had that confidence that God fulfills his promises. He's not sitting down and whining and saying that, I'm about to die, and I've not seen this thing. God is not faithful. He said, concerning my bones, once... Because God will surely visit you and he's going to liberate you and he's going to take you back to where God, he promised your fathers, take my bones with you. Nobody can be that definite. He said, don't leave my bones in a foreign land. Take them with you where you are going. Meaning that it was certain that they will go. Hallelujah. And why was he certain that he was certain that they will go? Because he had seen God even right when he was in an adolescent age. I think it was at the age of 17 or 13 that he had that encounter of the tunic. He had understood God from that point, and he had understood that God does not lie. Hallelujah. Amen. God does not lie. All God needs is for you to stay in line with his words. Amen. And when he speaks, he doesn't tell you. It's not all the time. He tells you a specific time. A day is like 10,000 to him, and 10,000 is like one day. But what he showed Joseph was that the sun and the moon, they'll bow. And the 11 stars, they'll bow to you. When and how, he never told him. And he saw it come to pass. He saw the butler, he saw the baker, and then, of course, Pharaoh's dream. He interpreted it. And then he saw it. And then he could remember that he made a promise. And if his father had not told him about that promise, he would not have remembered. That means somebody passed the story to him that this is what God promised Abraham. And this is what is going to happen. That he says, surely God will visit you and you shall carry my bones from here. Please go to verse 24. said, I'm dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Amen. To the land which he swore. God's war. Hallelujah. God's war. And then he's saying, because God's war, he had made it so certain. You understand what I'm saying? Because God swore to these men, he was too sure that he had to come to pass.
Hallelujah.
And let's take a look at it. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to take it from verse 17. Let me take it from verse 13, okay? It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, Abraham. Okay? After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Hallelujah. He says, men, what man normally does is a man swears, okay, by something greater. Abi? Aha. And then an oath is a confirmation. An oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Hallelujah. So once there's an oath, there's a problem. If you break that oath. Abi? Once there's an oath. It's not this one that we've gone. Somebody will sign on your behalf. But once there's an oath, there's a problem. But it says, man swears by something greater. But God did not find anything greater than him. So he swore by himself. Hallelujah. And in swearing to Abraham, because Isaac and Jacob were not there now. Abi? So Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Isaac gave birth to Jacob. So that's how Joseph knew that God swore to his fathers. Anytime God visited them, he would tell them, I remember the things I told Abraham. And why is he remembering? Because he has sworn. Not by nothing greater. There's nothing greater than him. So he has sworn. Okay? And his name is very important. I was telling somebody in the course of the week, I said, my father used to tell us something. And the person I was telling, when we were growing up, my father used to say something to us. He would tell us that he doesn't have money. He doesn't have any money, any wealth to pass across to you. But this name that he has given you, you go and protect this name anywhere you go. So he will tell us to, then he will say a proverb that if God, he says this in Yoruba, says that if God removes the hair in front, that he will use the one at the back as a consolation. You understand what I mean? So if you don't have in front, there will be consolation. So you should be proud. You have a comb. You comb this part. It will be difficult. Amen. So, but the person I was talking to was, but the person I was talking with was bald. So I couldn't tell him that part that my father put. That if there's no hair here, there will be. But he said something. He said, and I always remember, I said, my name is very important. Anything you do, don't mess with my name. I don't even know what that name, I don't know. But he just said, meaning that the things that he has taught us, because, I mean, he was in church, he was a lay reader and all that. The things that he has, the path that he has shown us, don't depart from it. The path of, be straightforward, don't do anything that is against the law. That was why he was very pious. This one, do it, okay, no problem. So imagine, so today, my son and I went to an office. We went to a consular office and we just stood there and I told them, I said, just be listening to how they are quizzing. They were interviewing people, okay?
And we were waiting. So I told her, I said, just listen as they're quizzing these people. And then he said, Daddy, how can you forget your date of birth? It wasn't me. He heard them querying one man that this is not his date of birth. And then I think they mentioned that to him that he has about 4 dates of birth. So he said, the date of birth he wrote is different from the date of birth on his phone. Everything was just upside down. And I said, look, that's how men do. They will tell you that there's frustration. So maybe there's a time he was looking for a job or he wanted to go to school. And then he will change the date of birth, Abby. And then when that one doesn't pass, he will go to another one. Maybe they say, this job will minimum age 25. You will adjust it so that he can apply for that job. Then another one, he will change it. And then he now totally forgot. Okay. So I said, look. And as so I was telling him, I said, look, that's why. I said, it is easier to tell the truth than to lie. When you are lying, it seems easy. Maybe you want to get out of one thing. You just say something. If you have to repeat that story, you will not be able to repeat the same way. Even when you think you have rehearsed the one you told first, by the time you are saying it to 2 or 3, 4 people, it will become inconsistent. But the truth is constant. Amen. No matter how they turn you upside down, when you are telling the truth, it is constant. Okay? So, I'm coming from the fact that my father said, keep my name. It's very important. Okay? So, let's stay with that. That God is saying, he found nobody greater. He swore by himself. So, let me continue in Hebrews. Which verse is that? Verse 16. Okay. So, it says, verse 16 says, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end to all dispute. Thus God, determining to show abundantly to the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation that we have fled from refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set above before us. Please give me this in NLT, this last verse, this verse 17. Hebrews 6:17 said, God also bound himself with an oath, say, so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Hallelujah. Say, so God has given us both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. That was the only confidence Joseph had. I said, God will surely visit you. Why? Because he has sworn. And God does not lie. Hallelujah. But Joseph did not realize that God does not lie, or God, he was not at the point of death that he had realized that God is this kind. He had realized, and that's why I was telling you that from the get-go, he was working with God. From the stories his father told him, and from their culture, which we have read now, that in the culture of man, if you swear, or if you take an oath, it takes an end to everything. So if somebody comes and says, and by the way, you're not supposed to swear. You don't swear by anything on earth, because it's God's footstool, and anything in heaven, because what? It is his throne. Hallelujah. He says, let your yes be yes. Amen. He's the only one that has the authority and he has done what he needed to do with his own swearing. He's taking an oath. And he said two things. By two things, he cannot lie. The first one is that he says it is impossible for God to lie. By these two unchangeable things, first is promise and second is oath. There's no one greater than him. So if he promises you by his name, then you are going to have it. Because it says here, for it is impossible for him to lie. And therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to that hope that lies before us.
Amen.
So when you are following the dots of life as he has placed it before you, have it at the back of my mind that it's not at the end that you say God is good. Or you say God is, or you are certain about him. You are certain and you know that he's good right from the beginning. Because he is waiting at the end. Because he has said it. And once he says he said it, he will do it. Amen.
And he will do it.
Psalm 138 verse 2. So this one says that his promise and his oath. Psalm 138 verse 2. In NKJV says, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Please give me NLT. It says, I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. Amen. And God has many names. Hallelujah. Abi, to the one that needs some money, you say he's my, he's what? He's Jehovah. He's surgery. And the one that needs healing, you will call him what? Eh? You don't know that one. So that's the one that is important to you. I just wanted to show you that despite all the names that God has, the one that resonates with her is Jehovah Jireh. Abi, the Lord my provider. Jehovah Rapha is what? Thank you. My healer. Amen. And when you say it's El Shaddai. It's El Shaddai, God of plenty. The all-sufficient one, Lord God Almighty, he is more than enough. Jesus is more than enough, more than enough. He is El Shaddai, the Lord of plenty, God Almighty. Hallelujah. He's more than enough. So, for everybody that sits down or is looking to God, they are looking at different angles of God. And you so much hold on to it that he's your healer. You so much hold on to it that he provides. Amen. Ah, my very present help in time of... That one is Jehovah. Which one? Let me help them. Jehovah, what is that one? I think it's Nisi. Abi? Jehovah Nisi. Very present help. Hallelujah. So everybody will always cling on to that name. And he says here that for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. So once you are calling him that is Jehovah Jireh, you are going out with your head, your shoulders high, square, and your head high, that he will provide. Amen. I'm not going to lack anything. He said he will provide. You remember Psalm 123. But all these things that you are remembering is because by two immutable things, he cannot lie. And the Bible has said that, give me this back in NKJV. It says, you have magnified your word above all your name. Hallelujah. So, if you so value God's name, then his word is far weightier. Hallelujah. Because that's it's by that word that you are really calling him. Abi. So if you call me Muiwa, it's because if somebody calls me daddy, everybody can call me daddy. Abi? Once I behave, I do things to them like a father. So I have a 27-year-old daughter in the office. He says, I'm your firstborn. I said, yes, I'm my firstborn. So today, I showed them, I said, this is your elder sister. I didn't know they were laughing. Because I said, daddy. Do you understand? Now, that name daddy, okay, will be nothing if you don't function or you don't say things in the capacity of that name. So the words that you speak earn you that name. God's word, he says, he has exalted or magnified your word above all your name. That's what gives us the confidence. And that's why when you are joining those dots, okay, know that there is a big picture that he has in mind and is waiting for you at the end of it. But the sure thing is that that end is certain. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he does not lie. So when he speaks, it's done. Hallelujah. I don't know who he has been speaking to or who is refusing to believe him. Isaiah 53.
Jesus is more than enough. More than enough. He is El Shaddai, God of plenty, the all-sufficient God, Lord God Almighty. He is more than
Isaiah 53 and from verse 1. It says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected by men and a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we had esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah.
These are the things that we see. I mean, this was written in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah was seen into the future. And what he was seeing was not that, he didn't come back and say, by stripes you'll be healed. What he was seeing, which is what I've been telling you, was the finished product. It says, by stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. It dawned you. And this is the foundation of all things. That God has made a promise. God has spoken his words. His word, he has exalted above his name. And if you have to have anything, you have to understand that by grace that we have been saved through faith, not by ourselves. It is the gift of God. So as we are walking, okay, we're not walking trying to look for God. Be like Joseph. So Joseph dots that we were able to see were plotted out, and then even at the end, okay, he still was seeing the end that God was going to move him out of that land. And he said, look, my bones, even though his bones will amount to nothing again, make sure you carry them. And because they said yes, it was a promise, they have to carry it. They did say that guy was dead. That's why they say, be careful. When you say your yes is yes. So even though the man was gone, you are bound by your yes. Some people say, yeah, he's dead. Forget it. No. They have to carry it because they promised that they will carry it. But he was giving them an assurance, and he didn't lose hope. He said, he will surely visit you. Why? Because he has sworn. Amen. God will surely visit you because he has spoken. Hallelujah. And he does not lie. I don't know what he has spoken to you, and I don't know what you are looking for or looking at. Be like Isaiah. I say, he's going to do it. He has done it. Because that's what his word is. You know, when they took the boy Jesus to the temple, Simon and I think it's Ananias, okay, he said they had waited for that day when they were going to name him, when they were going to circumcise him. And we waited for that day. He says, now I can go and sleep in peace. Because we're waiting for it. So imagine that they were waiting for God's promise.
And they must have understood by the books also that it was in their time that it will happen. That's why they could heave a sigh of relief when they saw it and said, okay, fine. Now we are ready to go. Habakkuk 2:2. Can you give me Habakkuk 2:2?
La 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 them to the Lord.
Says then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. At the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. Visions, promises that are based on God's word will not lie. Hallelujah. Amen. But have you noticed that if you look at Romans 15, verse 4 that we usually read, he talked about the fact that we learn from these stories. Everyone that we are referring to in the Bible, okay, had a personal encounter with God. So if you look at, even though the story we read on Sunday about Elisha and his servant and the chariots of fire, okay? It was Elisha's experience, okay? He had a vision. And then he said, look, open his eyes, let him see as well. See, every story that we read, it's not that somebody is seeing vision for you and then you're running with that vision. Be careful. It was a personal encounter by each one of these people that we always read in the Bible with God. Even when you go to the story of Samson, everybody says Samson is useless, blah, 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 blah. But at the end, he came to his senses and he called on God and said, just give me this strength once, let me finish these people. And then God not obey him or grant him his wish. Each one is a personal experience with God and is a revelation for each person. So each story that we read from the scripture, we learn from it. Abi, he says, whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. If Joseph dreamed a dream, and it was interpreted by God to him, it was Joseph's vision and between him and God. Hallelujah. If Joseph went to interpret for Pharaoh, it's because Pharaoh had no connection to God. Abi? So be careful, when people give you a vision, hallelujah, you yourself should have a vision because you should have a revelation from God. And then they begin to interpret it for you and then be very careful. And that's why we always say that you need to study the scripture yourself as well. There's no private interpretation of the scriptures. For everything that there is a counterfeit of, there's an original. Abi? For everything that there's a counterfeit of or a fake, there's an original. That's why you know that this is not original. Because there's a standard you need to measure it against. And people will always use everything that they have to their advantage. You'll be the one that will test all spirits. Nobody is going to test a spirit for you to tell you that this spirit is wrong. Hallelujah. Somebody can, in a conversation, he can suggest it. But you have to be fully convinced by yourself. Everything that Joseph did was in alignment with what God wanted him to do. And he made it obvious that it was God that he was following. Even to his last breath, he said, you know what? God will do. He will visit you. He will surely visit you. Because he has sworn to their fathers. No, it wasn't even about them. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. If you listen and listen to God, then you have to internalize the word of God that you hear. So you have to, when I say internalize, you have to take it in, meditate on it, just like it says in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. Meditate on it day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Hallelujah. Then it says, Please give me Joshua 1:8 again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. All the responsibility lies with you. You shall meditate. Who will meditate? Is you. You may observe to do. Who? Is you. All that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. So when you do those things that are expected of you, the end result comes back to you. If you will see God in all that you are doing, then he will show you things to come. That's the promise. That's the promise he left us. Christ left us. He says the Holy Spirit will come. And then he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will guide you. And lead you to the promises of God. But without the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit on somebody else's inside cannot lead you. Hallelujah. Because you'll be revolting. He says, somebody said one day that when people fall in love and they get married, it's better than an arranged marriage because they are forced to get married. So it's the same thing. So when somebody is telling you that this is what God is telling you to do, it's going to be a problem because you do not have that natural alignment or alliance to that word. Find out the word of God. Deal with the word of God itself. Joseph the dreamer that we always say, it wasn't about him dreaming. It was about God being with him and showing him that this is the line I will be leading you. And so each time there was an opportunity, Joseph would just fall back on God. When he shows you, fall back on your source. Let's talk to God this evening. His words are certain and they are sure. But is it certain that we will follow those words that he gives to us in our closets? A personal encounter with God. It took Jacob wrestling with an angel. It took Abraham. He said, God counted it for faith. I mean, everything was personal. Anna was speaking. And then he said, it looked like she was drunk. But she was lost in the spirit and was talking to God. And God showed up. Nobody will stand in prayer and God will show up for you. Just like that. You also have to be in that way. I mean, of course. You have to understand God for yourself and know that he does not lie. He always says things that he will do. What is important for us is that we align with his word. He said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, when they say to you, tell them that I am sent me. And said, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. I am who I am. And it's just, who do you want him to be at this point? He will be that to you. I am God Almighty. I am God your provider. I am God your healer. But you have to work with him. If you just move from point 2 to point 4, you have to go from 2 to 4. That's when you see him. He knows the way. He says he knows the end from the beginning. He knows the way. The author and the finisher of our faith. Let's give him all the praise. Thank him because we will not be the same again. It's just the beginning. As he begins to reveal to us the more. And then we are also confident to tell people that God will surely do it. God will interpret it. God will give you an answer of peace. Hallelujah. Because in him there is peace. Lord, we give you all the praise. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We magnify your name. Thank you for the time like this in your presence. Thank you for your word. It brings comfort to your people. Thank you because indeed you exalt your word above your name. So we hold on to your word. Knowing fully that for whatever you have said, you will do that you will do. Give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray.